grisly one.
Their own organization called the Guardian Angels. You see them with red berets.
I admire Curtis Sliwa, and I think that he takes his life into his own hands doing what he does.
Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
We've got Curtis Sliwa from WABC Radio.
Curtis Sliwa, legendary New York.
The Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa. What happened today, why, and what's next? Live, local, on it. 77 WABC.
Yours truly, Curtis Sliwa, taking you home on the drive, home at 5. So for Christians, you have Good Friday. It'll lead to Easter Sunday. And we'll discuss the differences momentarily because Catholics, we're obsessed with the crucifixion. That's why Catholics love to wear those crucifixes. And Protestants, they're obsessed with the resurrection. That's why you rarely see a crucifix in a Protestant church. And they're certainly not rocking the crucifixes like Catholics do. But we're not just going to talk about Catholics here. We're also going to talk about Jews. Not Reform, not conservative, but Hasidic Jews and, yes, some Orthodox Jews as we move into Passover and sundown as all of a sudden Pesach will be taking place. But there's one person in particular in Albany. His name is Simcha Felder. He's a state senator from Borough Park. And Republicans depend on his vote because he's a free agent. He was weaned as a Democrat, but he decided, hey, I'll be a free agent because, you know, I'm the 32nd vote here. And that prevents the Democrats from ruling the world in the state Senate as they do the state assembly in Albany. So I'm a crucial vote. And it'll be interesting to see what the state Republicans do now, because Simcha Felder has decided that he alone, as you heard in the newscast, he alone is not Moses, is not JC, but is just a simple state senator who represents a community in need. Except he is demanding that there will be no state budget. He will not sign off on it. Oh, the chutzpah, the culions. The absolutely pretentious attitude that this a-hole has to stand there and say that Jewish religious schools should be exempt from the New York State curriculum requirements that every school has to follow. We're talking charter schools. We're talking parochial schools. We're talking private schools. And yes, we're talking yeshiva schools. There is a certain mandated curriculum that all these schools must follow, in addition to everything else they want to teach. They have the book of boys, book of girls in the yeshivas. They want to daven. They want to learn Talmud, Torah. No problem. They can study sun up to sundown, and most of it can be religious studies. But there are certain requirements, according to the Department of Education of the state of New York, that must be followed. And Simcha Felder is saying, no, they won't. We're going to opt out because if we're not given an exemption, if we're not given a pass, I don't sign off on the budget. Now, remember, unlike the federal government that consistently keeps raising the debt ceiling and obviously just saying, hey, for a hamburger today, as Wimpy would say, I'd gladly pay you back on Thursday. That's how the federal government operates. It keeps increasing the debt. You can't do that at a state government level. You must come back with a balanced budget. Those are the laws, whether it's New Jersey, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, or here in New York. And Simcha Felder is going to be the hemorrhoid who is going to prevent that from happening. And you look at it and you say, now, wait a second. What do you want your students in your Hasidic and some of your Orthodox communities exempted from? And we're talking about through many of the yeshivas in Brooklyn. We're talking about up in Orange County, in the community of Kiryas Joel, and some of the other Hasidic compounds. We're talking about Hasidic and Orthodox communities in Rockland County, and all throughout that mid-Hudson Valley area. And although it doesn't apply because it's New Jersey, it could be Lakewood, it could be near Toms River, where the Hasidim and the Orthodox communities are growing strong. Now, this doesn't affect all the Orthodox yeshivas, because plenty of them abide by New York State's legally mandated educational curriculum. But it's mostly the Hasidic yeshivas who have always put up impediments. But New York State educational law, Noach Deer, Simcha Felder, and anyone else out there who would pretend to represent the Hasidim in this degree or the Orthodox, you need to know, private school education must be at least substantially equivalent to that of public schools. That's agreed upon. For elementary school students, that means at least the 12 common school branches of arithmetic, reading, spelling, writing, the English language, geography, U.S., history, civics, hygiene, physical training, and the history of New York State and science. And the state educational department guidelines are even more specific, requiring, in addition to the above, science, social studies, physical education, visual arts, music, technology, home and career skills, among other subjects. But you see, within this enclosed community, they're afraid that some of their adherents may actually decide, if they get too much of an expansive education, that they will leave the confines of the Hasidic community or leave the confines of the Orthodox community and then all of a sudden become more secularized. Well, guess what? That's tough noogies. And in New York City, they have a defender. And who is that defender who allows them to break the rules? Well, of course, it's Comrade Bill de Blasio, the mayor, the part-time mayor, the dope from Park Slope. Because the City Department of Education has been bombarded with complaints for years about how some of these yeshivas do not follow the letter of the educational law. And in fact, this Hasidic block vote that de Blasio has so depended on to get reelected was so important to him that it wasn't important to make sure the tens of thousands of children in New York City get the required education. Those going to Hasidic yeshivas, those going to some of the Orthodox yeshivas. So what has Bill de Blasio done through the Department of Education of the City of New York? Make that the dumbest organization ever? He has voided responding to that. Well, now it's high noon. And Simcha Felder has determined that he and he alone will block the budget. Well, I'll tell you what, Simcha, and others out there who believe you should be exempt from all the rules that Catholic schools, Lutheran schools, charter schools, private schools have to undergo. How about the millions of dollars that you get in federal aid in the Pell Grants? How about those Pell Grants that you've ripped off in the past and some of your leading rabbis have been taken away in chains and shackles on daisy chain perp walks, huh? How about all those yellow buses that take your kids to and from the schools that are paid for by all the other taxpayers, huh? You going to give that money back? You want to fund the yellow buses yourself? And what about all the special educational dollars, millions that are poured into your school system? Are you going to give us money back on that? No, of course you're not. Because you want your schnapps, your sponge cake, and you want to be able to drink it and eat it too at taxpayers' expense, and you want to call all the shots, and you don't want to cooperate, and you don't want to be considered like any other private school or parochial school or charter school. And that's just not going to go down. Now, the Democrats have said, no, we're not going to get buffaloed. But I notice that the state Republicans are silent, because they need Simcha Felder's vote in order to maintain their majority. So they're going to cave in and basically say that yeshivas should have special consideration. Really? Well, I'll tell you this much. We pay a lot of taxes in New York State, a lot of taxes. And let me just use the community of Kiryas Joel, because it is a classic example of how this enclosed community has hurt their own people. It's up in Orange County. It's run by the Satmar community and their rebbes. Are you aware that Kiryas Joel is considered the poorest community in America? Poorer than Jose Serrano's congressional district in the South Bronx. Poorer than any congressional district in the hillbilly Appalachian Mountains of West Virginia in Kentucky. The poorest area in the United States. And why is that? Because the men don't work. They study Torah all day. They study Talmud. They daven. They get snaps, they get welfare. There's a lot of kids, 10, 11, 12 kids. They then get elected to the local public school boards, even though their kids don't go to public school, and then they control the flow of dollars. So this has to be ended once and for all. So it is important out there, whether you're Jews or Gentiles, on this a holiday that combines itself, Easter into Passover, that we say one thing and one thing alone to Simcha Felter, who is holding us all hostage, and that is, it's a shanda, Simcha. It's a shanda that you would deprive your own children an opportunity to learn math, to learn English, to learn social studies, to learn the history of the United States and the history of New York State, just so that you can keep them in your own little sphere of influence so they won't cut the apron strings and potentially run away and join the secular community. In fact, Simcha Felder, it's a double shanda.
The Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa.
He's really a New York City hero.
Yes.
He's an American hero.
WABCRadio.com.
Jeff Bezos, now the richest man in the world. And although, as you know, I've been no supporter of President Donald Trump, I've parted ways with him on many, many issues that he's taken on. Although on occasion I've been in agreement with him, I couldn't have been more hopelessly with him than yesterday when he decided to get into a Twitter war about Amazon. I absolutely applaud the president before he took his trip to Ohio to talk about infrastructure and redevelopment of a lot of the state's badly needed roads and highways and areas that would serve the mass transportation base. He basically came out swinging and winging. And what the president said in his various Twitter posts was that Amazon does not pay enough taxes. In fact, he's absolutely jack diddly squat right. The company is worth more than $700 billion, right? $700 billion, I think, making it the third wealthiest corporation now in the world, with the CEO, obviously, Jeff Bezos, who is the wealthiest person. But Amazon itself has paid no federal taxes, the company. None in 2017. Now, you say to yourself, how can that be? There are mom-and-pop shops that have paid more in federal taxes than Amazon has. What? Because they hide in some kind of a shelter operation? In fact, make yourself useful, Justin B. Love, our phone screener and producer here, an invader, hipster millennial from Alabama. Go back soon. But find out where Amazon says that his corporate headquarters is, because we all know that Jeff Bezos and his cronies hang out in Seattle sipping the Starbucks lattes. I mean, that's their base of operation. But oh no, what is he saying? He's saying Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, where else? Luxembourg, you know, a country you can't even find on the map. And he's claiming, oh, that's where we base our financial apparatus in. He's a liar. And the president is absolutely correct and going after Jeff Bezos. And I know some people are saying, well, you know, he's got it in for Bezos personally ever since he personally purchased the Washington Post and went to war against Donald Trump, the candidate, and Donald Trump, the president. Hey, look, I don't care what the motivation for our president is in going after Amazon and Jeff Bezos, but there is an antitrust action that needs to take place here by the Justice Department. You know, we start with Bezos and Amazon because he's a monopoly. And then we'll go to the kid who's still using Clearasil, wearing black each day. That's right, Zuckerberg of Facebook. I mean, think about it. You earn $700 billion, and you don't pay any federal taxes as a corporation. And you know who is supporting the president on this? Unlikely. Well, I know you're saying, Curtis, you know, you've called President Donald Trump in the past a crackpot and a screwball, a manic depressive, the George Steinbrenner of American politics. You're absolutely right. But on this issue, he couldn't be more hopelessly correct. But you know who's also supporting him on this issue? The anti-Semite. The screwy Louis Farrakhan lover. That's right, the guy who could have been the chairman of the DNC if wiser minds had not prevailed. The congressman from Minnesota, Keith Ellison. That's right, Keith Ellison said the president is correct. He says, I know he's critical of the Washington Post and Jeff Bezos, but Amazon has too much growing power in the marketplace, and it's knocking out mom-and-pop shops, and there's nothing to rein him in, and it clearly is a monopoly. And the giant company is supposed to be collecting all kinds of sales taxes on its own products in all 45 states that have sales taxes. But third-party vendors who sell products on the site often, they won't even collect a sales tax. In fact, rivals say it is completely unfair. And it is. And then there are a lot of municipalities, small and large, that complain that Amazon does not collect local taxes. And they are correct. And in April, the United States Supreme Court will hear the arguments in a case on whether to allow states to impose sales taxes on all internet sales. And let's hope the justices are poised to reverse the 1992 ruling that exempted online retailers with no physical presence in a state. And you know what that means, Amazon. Now, where the president was wrong is when he basically said, well, Amazon uses the United States Postal Service as its own private delivery system at cut-rate prices. Well, if you've been following Jeff Bezos of late, he is no longer going to use the United States Postal Service in the coming future, or FedEx, or DHL, or any other package delivery service group, whether it's part of the Postal Service or it's private. He's developing his own. Remember, he's going to have drones delivering. He's going to have robots delivering. He's going to have driverless cars and driverless trucks delivering his products. He has a supermarket in Seattle now, right across the street from where he sips his Starbucks lattes, that has no personnel in the store whatsoever. Nobody to stock the shelves. Nobody to deal with the warehouse. Nobody up at the cash registers. It's all robotic. It's all electronic. This guy is trying to set it up so that Amazon rules the world. And I'm hoping, even if it's based on a vendetta, even if it's based on a blood feud of Donald Trump hating Jeff Bezos because how he gets attacked in the Washington Post, if that's the catalyst, if that's the motivation to take out Amazon and Jeff Bezos and knock them down to size, so be it. It's one of those rare occasions you're going to hear Curtis Lewa say, I'm in solidarity, that's right, with Donald Trump on this issue. First go after Amazon through the Justice Department with an antitrust action, and then take on the pimply-faced kid from Westchester County. That's right, you know who I'm talking about. A guy who's going to appear before Congress soon and have to explain himself, Zuckerberg.
Curtis Lewa.
He's a man of the people.
Between the Scylla and Charybdis of commentary.
The Drive at 5, 77 WABC.
Judge Julie Curtis Lee, we're taking you home here on the Drive Home at 5 on this Good Friday. And oh, I was so happy to hear that this Pope, the Argentine Pope, Pope Francis, who has more in common with his fellow Argentine, Che Guevara, than he does with JC, submitted himself to an interview in which he said, hell does not exist. Pope Francis said, there is no hell. But there is the disappearance of sinful souls. And I said, oh, glory, Haliaski, hallelujah! Because when I had gone to St. Matthew's Elementary School, run by the Josephite nuns, the Irish nuns, I think whose retirement home is out in Brentwood, Long Island now, I remember all of the Irish nuns were telling me there were two things. That it wasn't Christopher Columbus who discovered the New World, it was St. Brendan the Navigator. Oof, out of that. But they said, Curtis, you want to be good. You want to do, go to the novena on Mondays. You want to do the Stations of the Cross. You have to go to the confessional. You must announce your venial sins, your mortal sins, and even your violations, because you do not want to burn in the fires of hell. And they would show graphic evidence of what hell was like, how it would consume consume you, and you would be stuck in that inferno. But I was also taught in the early 60s that there were four levels that you can end up in. It was heaven, which was paradise. You could sit at the knee of Jesus Christ, or God the Father, but they claimed it was the Holy Spirit, you know. And although they never had pictures of him up in heaven. So I accepted the fact that you could sit next to either God the Father or Jesus Christ if you were a good boy. And then they said for those who were mensa, mensa, poco, poco, half and half, there was purgatory. Now, it wasn't hell, but it wasn't necessarily the nicest place to be. Let's say it would be like the equivalent of being stuck in Perth Amboy the rest of your life, okay? It's not like you were in Palm Beach. You were in Perth Amboy. Not the worst place to be, but it certainly wasn't hell. And then the nuns told me there was a place called Limbo. Not named after Rush Limbaugh, but Limbo, in which babies who had not been baptized, or really anyone who hadn't been baptized, would end up going if they had perished and died. And then all of a sudden, I noticed, I checked my Baltimore catechism, and years later, poof, no more Limbo. No more Rush Limbaugh. Gone. And I inquired. I inquired of the nuns and the priest. I said, what happened to Limbo? Don't worry about it. You should just be concerned with heaven and hell. Those are the two biggies. And you see, Roman Catholics, we're obsessed this Easter season with today, Good Friday, and the crucifixion. It's like the movie that was done by Mel Gibson, right? It was all about the torture that Christ went through before he was crucified on the cross. Protestants really aren't into that. That's why the Catholics, they love to rock the crucifix. You know, they'll be wearing like 29 crucifixes around their neck. You walk into a Catholic church, there are crucifixes everywhere. Now flip the script and go to a Protestant church and you can barely find a crucifix. And Protestants, they don't really wear crucifixes. But Protestants also believe in fire and brimstone. In tent revival after tent revival. I bet you were forced to go there, Justin B. Love, when you were growing up in Alabama with the hillbillies there. And actually the biggest thing going on in your town on Saturdays and Sundays were the tent revivals.
You leave this world. Hell is a place. It is a place that existed before you were ever born. It is there. It's going to be there. And there's nothing you can do to change that one bit whatsoever. It doesn't make any difference if the churches today have stopped preaching on hell, if the preachers don't preach on hell, if the seminaries and Bible colleges don't teach the young men about hell.
Yes.
If they extricate it from the Bible, it makes no difference whatsoever. It is still a place.
Yes. Amen. Amen. You see, the Holy Rollers, the Evangelicals, the Charismatics, they've nailed it. There's hell. It's fire and damnation. But the Pope, the Vatican is now claiming he's a little titched. He's a little ubats, maybe the first level of dementia or Alzheimer's. And in fact, they have labeled what the Pope had said about there no longer being hell as fake news. Fake news. God. I thought this Pope, who was so progressive, who was so liberal, was going to cast out that image of hell. I mean, I'm thinking to myself, if ever I thought I was on the verge of having another battle with the Grim Reaper and taking a dirt bath, which could be at any second, you know, brothers, the few that exist, priests, the fewer that exist, nuns, the fewer of them that exist, will all come together and they'll give me a consultation and they'll say to me, Curtis, You got to submit to a final confession before you see your maker. And naturally, I'll have all my index cards out because, you know, I wrote it all meticulously, printed it out. That's one of the benefits of a Catholic school education is you learn to print so well. They could use your printing on the eye charts of the Department of Motor Vehicles. You may be a total gavone. You may have a muscle between both ears, but you really know how to print. And so I've printed down all the sins that I've committed, all the people I've thought of killing. Because remember what President Jimmy Carter said, you don't just have to have sex, just thinking about sex is a sin. Well, imagine with me, every day there are like 10 people I want to kill. I make a list. Boy, I'd love to kill this person or that person. I could start with people right here at WABC. But that is a sin, and I put that down as a venial sin. I don't put that down as a mortal sin, because a mortal sin is something you actually do. And there have been many things I've done in my life. Hey, I'm not going to get into here because there's no statute of limitation. And the coppers, they would love to pinch me for it. But they would be considered mortal sins. Could you imagine if I ever had to do a confession? They would have to bring in priests from Poland, from Nigeria, from Colombia, because they don't have enough American priests to hear my confession. It would be like a tag team. You know, they would start, they'd fall asleep, they'd replace the other guy, he'd listen to my confession, and I'd have pocketfuls of these index cards that I've collected over the years. And the reason that I wanted to avoid going to hell is I didn't want to burn in the bowels of hell. So to you, Justin B. Love, and all the holy rollers out there and evangelicals who have forgiven Donald Trump for living a decadent and debaucherous lifestyle, let me tell you where you'll end up going, and it'll be the bowels of hell.
Curtis Lewa.
Really trying to help our cause.
The Drive at 5.
We're very honored to have him here today.
77 WABC.
When the moon hits your eye like a bigger pizza pie, that's...
5:53 on the drive home at 5. You know, today, more pizza is sold than on Super Bowl Sunday. I bet you didn't know that, you gavon, you chadrul, you knuckle-dragger, Brian Mangalucci, our board operator, hipster millennial with your skinny jeans, your man bun, and your canvas Converse sneakers, or even you invader from Alabama, Justin B. Love. I bet you didn't know that because you thought, oh, Super Bowl Sunday. No. Because, remember, you got to go meatless if you're observant. And it's not just Catholics. It's Lutherans. It's some other Protestants. It won't have any meat products on particularly Good Friday. So you go to your pizza parlors, and it's packed. People are wanting to take out pies, take them home, feed the family. And not the meat sauce, naturally. Just the regular gravy. Now, make that the sauce, because gravy has the meat in it. You see how it tripped me up. But it's also a day, it's almost like the night of the seven fishes, you know, right during the Christmas season, where more fish is sold than any other day. That's right, more fish. In fact, you, Justin B. Love, the only fish you had growing up in the heart of Alabama was Mrs. Paul's fish sticks, right? Are you aware that they sell tractor trailer loads of Mrs. Paul's fish sticks on today, Good Friday? And it's their number one sales day. Because, yeah, people are still observant of the dietary restrictions on Good Friday. But let's get to the mom-and-pop pizza shops. I've already terrorized two in between shows. Well, when I left Rita Cosby at 3, I hit two pizza parlors within the vicinity of Penn Station as I worked my way through all the emotionally disturbed people, the homeless people, and what are third-world conditions. So I walk into the pizza parlor, and in one of them I say, Hey, come on, guys. What's up with the Leaning Tower of Pizza on the wall? What's up here with the picture of Italy, the map of Italy with the Italian flag? There's not an Italian in this place. You're all Macedonians or Albanians. So I'm already setting them off. And then I look and I said, hey, I want a pie to take out. And so they're starting to make the pie, No. I want the pie in the dish. I said, but that's the slice pie. I said, I want the pie in the dish. You got other dishes with pies. Come on, underneath that, there are whole pies. Just put it in the oven. Give it about a blast of a minute, and I'll take it out that way. They said, we can't do that. I said, what do you mean? Yeah, I want the slice pie. I said, oh, no, we can't do that. I said, well, why not? And then if all of a sudden you force them to do that, you'll notice they can't even close the box because the slice pie is bigger. Now, they've always bamboozled you and used technology to make you believe, like Brian always believed when he grew up in Long Island in Matsapizza, a.k.a. Massapequa, that if you bought a box pie, you were getting more value than the slice pie, right? You always thought that. Wrong. The box pie is smaller. So I'm begging, I'm beseeching all of you on this Good Friday, I want you to go in and first bust the stones at your local mom-and-pop pizzeria. Because although they pretend to be Italian, they're Fugazi Italians. They're really Albanians, they're Macedonians. And then when all of a sudden you start talking about box pie and slice pie, the Mexican behind the counter is going to say, no hablo English, no hablo English. And then I'll say, hey, you understand this? ICE, L'Immigre, Immigration and Naturalization Service, where are your papers? And notice how quickly they start speaking English. But the point being is, don't leave that pizza parlor until you walk out with the slice pie. Because they have always told us that when you buy the box pie, you're going to get more value than if you just purchased an individual slice. So you, Justin B. Love, you probably were, more than happy at Pizza Hut right down in Alabama. You thought that was real pizza instead of cardboard pizza. You know, we have real pizza pies here in the mom-and-pop shops that you ought to frequent, not those chain stores that end up selling cardboard with a little bit of sauce on it and cheese, you know, that Kraft American cheese. And you're like, oh, like a hog, you know, putting your beak in the trough. You're thinking, oh, that's great pizza. So please, as I leave the microphone tonight, I'm going out there and I'm hunting down pizza parlors. And I'm looking for you Albanians and Macedonians to reveal that you're really Fugazi Italians. And then I'm going to bust your stones and I'm going to ask to take out a slice pie instead of the box pie. And let me tell you something. This is Good Friday. If you screw me over, there'll be a price to pay.